The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers, taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Everybody, welcome to the show. It's me, Matt Slick. Listen to Matt Slick Live. If you want to give me a call, all you have to do is dial 877-207-2276. And if you want to give me an email, the number or the email is easy. I got 18 things I'm doing right now. What? I'm doing a whole bunch of stuff. Let me try it again. The phone number is 877-207-2276. And if you want to send me an email, you can do that. Just send an email to info@carm.org. info@carm, C-A-R-M dot O-R-G. And you can put in the subject line radio comment, radio question, and we can get to it when we get to it. All right. There we go. We have nobody waiting. Oh, we got one caller coming in. I hope you want to give me a call. And had a good weekend, busy weekend. I'm still coughing, still having problems with that. It's been a rough cough. In fact, I found out that some other people on the trip also got the same cough that I did. Looks like someone on the bus was infected with something, and we got just a nice cough. But, it happens. It happens. So there you go. And there, I just used my cough button. Hope it works. Hope it works well. All right. Now, tomorrow's the election. And, as a conservative who believes in Scripture, I know that God's in control, and I know that things are good and bad. My opinion, I'm going to offend people here, but this is my opinion. If Harris gets in, it's because the judgment of God is on this country. If Trump gets in, it's because he's giving us a little spare time. That's my view. Neither one's perfect, but Harris is a Marxist commie who's opened the borders, and she's a chameleon. And Trump, well, he's a businessman. He's kind of crass, but at least I believe, he has the country's interest at heart, unlike Kamala, who I believe is just a puppet. And if she gets in, the deep state will be controlling her for whatever they want, and the people outside of her country are probably doing a lot of stuff. And with a leftist media in place, our country is really basically in a lot of trouble. It is in a lot of trouble. It really is. The schools are leftist. The media is leftist. And I don't even know if we can trust the election. Either way. I mean, Well, let's put it this way. If Trump gets in, I'd be surprised. And I'm hoping that's what happens. But if Kamala gets in, I don't trust the election. I don't know about you guys, but I don't trust it. I already have heard reports of cheating going on for the Dems. Suddenly, voters for Trump's their machines are showing up for Harris. Things like this, ballots are missing in conservative areas. I just don't trust the left, I think the judgment of God is upon us. And Xi and Obama and Biden and others have been part of that judgment. So there you go. I just offended a lot of people. I know you want to turn your radio stations. I don't care. Go do what you want to do. At least I believe in the freedom of expression and the freedom of speech. And if you don't like it, okay. But if you do, okay. Whatever, So that's that. All right. Let's go and get online with Courtney from Orlando, Florida. Courtney, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, Matt. How are you today?
Except for the cough, I'm doing okay. Hanging in there. I got this bad cough I've had for days and days.
Yeah, me and my little ones have it as well, so I understand.
Oh, that's horrible.
Yeah. So I was calling because I've got a bit of an issue, and it's bringing division in my home regarding abortion and the churches. Okay. Churches, how do I say the word? I don't even know the word for it. So I'm a woman who's experienced that in the past and been, you know, been redeemed by Christ, and it's just been a passion of mine to educate, especially the African American community, on how it is affecting us and how it's harmful to us, and not only that, and how God commanded us not to murder. So I have a passion in my heart for it, and I, my husband doesn't, not so much as passionate, understandably, but I even hesitate to call because I want to respect and honor him, but I don't, I'm having a hard time just being settled because it's coming off as I'm being judgmental. My leaders are kind of seeing it as like I'm being judgmental or legalistic.
Your leaders?
They don't. Well, I've
church
gone
leaders?
To my leaders and I said, yes, sir.
Church leaders, okay.
So yeah. I've gone to them and I said, okay, what's the stance on abortion? And they said, because I was talking to them about, I wanted to show them some videos from abolitionists. And I was wrestling through that and wanted to see how, if they could, you know, look at it and kind of see, because it was talking about criminalizing the mothers, and I just didn't know where I stood on that exactly. Just kind of open up the conversation. Let's talk about it. And so I was like, what's our stance? And they were like, well, we don't talk about things that divide the church. We talk about things that bring them together. And I was like, okay, things like, can you give me an example? He's like, well, things like housing and justice and things like that. And I was just like, okay, well, I just left it at that. And I was like, honey, I just need you to talk to the pastor because I don't think biblically I can kind of have this conversation with him. And, you know, you're the leader and I want you to take that position.
So we've got several things you're going here with. So I'm curious, what did your church say about the issue of abortion?
Well, it was more so of like, that's people, because I told them Amendment 4 is happening, and to kind of let's have the conversation with the congregation. Can we pass? Can I at least pass out flyers?
What did the leadership say about abortion?
They said we don't really talk about those things in the church because it's a divisive conversation.
Oh, yeah. I would love to meet those guys. I'd love to meet them and give them what for, and say that for them to hide behind the lie of the devil that it causes division and therefore you don't want to address something dealing with human nature and murder and the issue of what's going on, you guys are you should be ashamed of yourselves to say that you don't want to get into it because it might be divisive. You guys aren't qualified to be pastors and elders. You need to step down right now, and I'll stay here for a little while and help you get a new pastor, and then I'll take off.
So the yeah. thing that's being understood now is that it's not a first tier issue.
Yes, it is.
That we have
thou
the
shalt
Christian
not
liberties
kill.
To kind of we have the Christian liberties to kind of, you know, move okay. about and address those issues from a different stance.
Yeah, these guys don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they're doing. I'm sorry, but they don't. The Bible says that men are supposed to protect the helpless. Now, you ask them, and I would ask them to their faces, I'd say, is the life in the womb a human life or not a human life? That's it. Mm-hmm. Is it human or is it not human? It's either one or the others. No other options. Which is it? If they say it's not human, I'm going to jump all over them like a monkey in a cupcake. If it's not human, can we take it?
I think they would say that it was human, but it's not.
If it's
people
human,
are still going to murder. People are still going to have abortion. I understand
if it's,
that.
Hold on. Hold on. Their position needs to be a biblical one. If it's human, then they cannot in any way say that it's okay to do. You can't just kill a human life for no reason. And a friend of mine,
I don't think he agrees with it, because he says for him he's going to vote no on Amendment 4. But my biggest issue
I don't know what that is, but
can I at least,
hold on. We've got to focus. The pastor should be against abortion. He should be against it. The eldership should be against it. If these, I hope there are not any women pastors and elders there, are there, at your church?
No.
Good. So
no.
These men need to stand on the truth of God's word, and if they can't do it, they need to step down. This is serious stuff. Killing the unborn is a horrifying thing. God's judgment upon our country is occurring in part because of that. If these guys don't have the guts to be able to stand on it and say, no, this is wrong. This is wrong. They need to say it from the pulpit. They need to address it. Okay. And if people leave the church and let them leave.
Okay. Oh. Because I know he said that cowards. He would vote personally, that he would vote against abortion, but he's not going to impose those thoughts on other people. And what my issue is.
Well,
that's
then, you know
I'm
what? Does he? Is he going to impose the thoughts on others that you need Jesus to be saved? Jesus says he's the way, the truth, and life. Nobody comes to the Father but by him. Does he not want to impose on anybody else? I believe that one of the major problems in Christianity today in the Protestant churches is they're not taking the Word of God seriously, and pastors don't know what they're supposed to be doing. The pastors are a problem all across the country. Not every pastor. There's a lot of good ones. I know some good ones personally. But the thing is, they're not upholding the Word of God and standing on the Word of God. What they're doing is seeing which way the doctrinal wind goes. They don't want to cause any problems. They're afraid people might leave the church. And this is this is horrible. It's horrible. And such men are disqualified.
I know that as the wife, but as my husband, how do I talk to him about this issue and my concern without us butting heads, because that's where it's coming to, because I'm like, okay, it's not a sin. If it's not a first-tier issue, then I'm just not going to
it.
That
is a first-tier issue. It is a first-tier issue.
Okay.
What if the government said it's okay to kill atheists? It's okay to kill atheists. What if if some weird thing happens, it's okay to kill atheists? We'd say no. Well, or would the pastor, your husband, or somebody else, other men out there say, well, we don't want to cause division.
We do not have Christian liberties to discuss this in the pulpit. Is what
of
I'm.
Of course we do. We're supposed to discuss it in the pulpit. We're supposed to discuss the issue of protecting the unborn, protecting life, laying down our lives for others, sacrificing ourselves for others, following in the footsteps of Christ. Jesus says, don't hinder the little ones from coming to me. And when people start using babies in the womb as fodder to kill for their own pleasure, this is horrifying. It's horrifying.
Yeah.
And it shouldn't happen.
So not as a wife, because I'm not making these decisions about where we go to church and things like that, and I don't want to try to lead and overstep my husband because I respect him. How do I go about, what is my next move? What do I do?
Okay, this is what you do. What you do is you get in a woman's group and you pray for your husbands. And you pray for respect, to be respectful, and to show them, as 1 Peter 3 talks about, through the manner of what it is that you are showing, when they see that. And you get prepared for arguments, not argument as in yelling, argument as in point, counterpoint. And the idea of protection. One of the things you can do is, you got to understand this, we men, not every man's identical, but we men want to protect our wives. You want to protect our children. Mm-hmm. And it's just one of the things we do. We're kind of protectors, you know. So we want to protect, we want to provide. And what women need to do is understand that that's a truth. And if you are elevating his ability to protect, and you praise him in that, he'll grow in that area. It will boil over into protecting others, including the life in the womb. Because God will arrange that his heart be opened. Hold on, we got a break, okay? Hold on. Hey, folks, be right back after these messages. Oh, boy, this bothers me so much. Be right back. If you want to call me, 877-207-2276. Be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the show. Let's get back on here with Courtney. Are you still there?
I'm here.
All right. So, you need to pray and ask the Lord to change your husband's heart. You need to be ready to have a discussion and ask God to put in place those things that will move him. You need to support him in the areas of his protection and provision. And when that is watered, the fruit of that, as fruit falls, it falls from at a distance from the root. because it spreads, and it'll go into other areas of life as well. And this is what you do. Okay?
Okay. Okay.
But your church, conversation, your church upsets me. But go ahead.
The conversation from the church came about because I knew that we would, in Florida, Amendment 4 is basically voting yes or no on abortion rights. And I was like, can I pass out flyers or talk to the church about this issue? And that's how that came about. So they said that they didn't want to, it's illegal to kind of say, I wanted to know if it truly is illegal for the church to say, like, yes.
Who cares if it is or isn't? When does the church, what's wrong with them? Well, the government won't let us do it, so we have to not preach God's word so we can, you know, keep within the bounds of what the government tells us to do. What's wrong with them? What is wrong with them? They need a spiritual groin kick. They need a man to tell them, you got to stop living like this and start living like a follower of Christ. Don't be afraid of the government. You go forth, and you have the right to say what you want to say. And if you lose your 501c3, who cares? What is wrong with churches?
I'm angry, yeah. Matt, because then the whole sermon was preached about judging others and being legalistic, and I'm just like, that's not my label. I know that I'm very passionate about certain things, especially when it comes to women dressing in the way women dress in the church. It's become very lenient, very lax, abortion, things like that. And it's just like, you're judging them. And I'm like, I'm not judging them. I'm asking for the standard to come up higher. If we were meeting the president, we would dress in a certain manner. So why can't we have the same kind of, you know, respect for Christ's church? And so
I'm
really sad, Matt. I'm really sad.
He or she who is spiritual appraises things or judges things, yet himself is judged by no one. 1 Corinthians 2:15, we are called to make judgments. What if a woman came in wearing a string bikini into worship service and sat up front? Would that be appropriate? Of course not. They should ask her to leave. What if someone came in and started yelling during the service? No, you got to stop that. So they understand that there are certain judgments that they have to exercise in order to have coherence in the church service and to preach the truth of God's word. So for someone to say, we don't make spiritual judgments or judgments like this about this, that's foolishness and it's not biblical. Of course we do. And if they don't know the Bible well enough to be able to know the difference, then they need to step down from the pulpit and get someone in there who can preach. I'd be glad to fly out there, interview them, help them out, and find someone who can really do the job. It makes me mad when I hear stuff like this. It does.
Okay. Yeah, me too. I feel like I'm the only person there who feels this way in a lot of our circles, so it's almost brought me to some sort of like depression. So I was like, you know I can't be the only one who feels this way about it. So I just wanted to make sure that I wasn't overstepping when it came to, like I said, the tears, as well as me being judgmental or legalistic for wanting to set a standard or wanting my children to see a certain standard or to hear a certain standard in the church.
Wow.
Because you see it all over the... I mean, I just saw Drag Queen Evolution at the theater. And, like, if we're not going to talk about it at the church, then the world is. To my children, to your children, I'm sorry.
No, you are absolutely correct. You are right, and you are awesome. You see the truth. You want to speak out for the truth. And people around you have become complacent and apathetic. Their love has grown cold. Their love of God and their love of man has grown cold. That's what's happening. It's prophesied in Scripture.
I can't leave the church. So, and it's really hard for me not to be angry when they're up there. Well, because my husband hasn't decided that that's not where we're going to go anymore. So,
here's the thing. If a church is a bad church, you're not obligated to go. And if your husband says you have to go, that's up to you. Because if it's a bad church, if he says you want to go to the Catholic church, you go, I'm not going there. I'm not going to go to a false religion, you know? So it sounds to me like these what you're telling me, the elders don't want to cause any problems. So let's not preach on those issues that might offend people. This is exactly the thing we're not supposed to do as preachers and teachers.
Okay. Okay. Well, I appreciate you, Matt. I appreciate you talking with me.
Yeah. Yeah, I appreciate you, and I'm glad that you called. And you sound like, to me, like a really good woman. You just keep your heart with Christ and stand for righteousness and do it in a loving, patient way and let God use you. Okay?
Thank you, Matt. That's really encouraging during these times. I really, really appreciate that.
Well, I would say to you, move to my neighborhood. We need neighbors like you.
Oh, I would love that. I would love to move to Moscow, Idaho to meet, I don't know if you know Doug Wilson and his family.
Yeah, I know who he is, and there's some issues there.
Yeah.
I'm 4 hours south of him.
Oh.
Yeah.
4 hours south. Okay. Okay. Yeah. I understand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, thanks, Matt. I pray you have a good night and that you get better.
Yeah, thanks. I need it. All right. Well, God bless. Okay. Oh, you know what really gets me? It really irks me, tweaks me, is when pastors don't do their job. When they say, well, I'm not talking about abortion in the church because we don't want to cause division. What? It's like saying, we don't want to talk about murder in the church because we don't want to cause division. We don't want to talk about homosexuality, LGBT invasion in our schools and our culture and our children's minds and hearts. We don't want to cause division. It's exactly what the pastor is supposed to do. Divide truth from error and equip the Christians for the work of ministry to serve God. Is this what Jesus would have done? I think Jesus would have said in the church, well, we don't want to talk about these things because we don't want to cause any, you know, offend anybody. No. He'd have probably, in such a church, walked over and knocked over the pulpit and then taken a whip and driven these guys out. Says, get out. A pruning is coming. All right, let's get to Nate, your next longest waiting. We've lost a couple callers. Nate, welcome. You're on the air.
How are you? How are you, Matt? Remember Nate?
Yes, you're the guy who's you're an unbeliever, I remember. But what do you got?
An unbeliever? How dare you?
Yeah. So what do you got?
No. I was going to ask you a question about the politics, but then you already gave the answer. I heard you talking. I like it. But then I came up with the one I was going to ask you. And this is one, is it's about, what do you think about Billy Graham? Because I saw
we got a break, so hold on.
Several.
Hold on, we got a break, okay? We'll talk about Billy Graham afterwards, okay? So hold on, all right?
All right.
All right. Hey, folks, we'll be right back after these messages. If you want to give me a call, the number is 877-207-2276. Be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the show. Bottom of the hour, if you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. Let's get back on with Nate from California. Nate, welcome. You're on.
Okay. Well, let's get it perfect. Right. I am not an atheist. You should know that. I saw videos from Billy Graham, documentaries on him talking. He says he's from the Masonic Lodge also. He says he's a liberal. And he also is for abortion. And then it made me think, you know, how could the pastor of my church say a couple of things that he said that are, you know, correct, of course, but still, what he hasn't seen is probably his whole entire documentary about him.
Yeah, there's...
Am I correct? Or those Masonic Lodge and the liberal that he said that heard him, so I watched him say it.
Yeah, and I don't know about the liberal Masonic stuff, but I'd like to see it. But, he says abortion's
and
okay, and
abortion.
Rape, incest and things like that.
Oh, man.
And also, he has said this. He said, I used to play God, but I can't do that anymore. I used to believe that pagans in far-off countries were lost, were going to hell, if they did not have the gospel of Jesus Christ preached to them. I no longer believe that. He says, I believe that there are other ways to recognize the existence of God. So he's denying that Jesus is the only way. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Correct. He's like that also.
Yeah.
From the faith movement, that people who don't know, haven't heard of God, don't go to heaven.
Yeah, I have another quote from him saying this kind of stuff. Yeah, and so he was actually teaching some bad stuff. And if I were to pick on Billy Graham, they're going to be offended. You can't touch Billy Graham. Well, if it's truth is the truth, he said some heretical things. He did.
You are correct. You are 100% correct, just like me. That's why I never bought a book about him. Even though, you know, a lot of people like him and stuff, but I've never bought a book on him.
I just did my own research on him.
I don't know.
I found out these things, and it was very disturbing. It was very disturbing to find this stuff out.
Yeah. But
it's not to say God hasn't used him.
I never knew that, you know? And then I saw those documentaries, and I go, I never knew that because he said it live. And I saw him on the Masonic Lodge once. He gave a shake of the guy's hand the way how they put one of their hands on their, how do they shake their hand with a thumb, and then the other hand in the side of their pocket, of their suit, and the Masonic Lodge is a massive cult. I've read it because
Walter
Martin.
Yeah, it's false.
Walter Martin.
Yeah,
I wrote about him, and it is very bad. You can do whatever.
Masonic stuff is bad, and Christians should not be members of the Masonic Lodge, right? Because it teaches some very bad stuff in their higher levels. Okay.
But your opinion on Billy Graham, what is that?
My what? Opinion on who?
On Billy Graham.
He was used by God, in spite of his false teachings, he was used by God to bring a lot of people into the kingdom. But he had some heresies that he taught early on and didn't repent of them. Namely that other people can find Christ and not leave their other religions. And that they don't even need to hear of Christ. And we got to be very, very careful of such things like that. And so he's taught some stuff that's not biblical.
Then that means that he was not a Christian at all.
No, I can't say that. We can have Christians who have varying degrees of error.
Well,
this is why, this is why, this is why, hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on. This is why it's so important for people to know, people need to know theology. And then what happens is seminaries, unfortunately, a lot of them have gone liberal, and that's bad. And that justifies a lot of people saying cemetery instead of seminary. But there are some good seminaries. And the advantage of a good seminary is you can learn a lot of good stuff. And it's needed. We need to have this. Unfortunately, there's just a downhill momentum in Christian thought towards feel-good-ism and don't-make-waves-ism stuff. And that's unbiblical. So the Christian church is weak in America and is getting weaker. We need to fix that. And anyway, so we need to be able to say things that are true. Like Billy Graham taught some false doctrines. He taught some false things. And he did. And they're documented. I have them on my website. So that's it. That's the truth is what it is. Okay?
If he taught that, does it mean that he, I don't know if he's saved, but should my pastor keep on saying things that he has said?
Well, I would educate the pastor. I'd get information, give it to him.
Okay, thank you. Okay. Also, before that, I was going to ask you about politics, but since I come from a Cuban background, and there's not one person in my entire family who is liberal. There's no way, especially
because they grew up in Cuba under socialism.
Exactly.
And they don't want it here in America, which is what the left is pushing for, socialism. They want us to make us into a cube.
Yes.
Yeah.
You are so correct. And, well, you gave me wonderful answers. I want you to know that I study your, from your web.
Wait a minute. I thought you were a different guy.
No, you got the wrong one.
Okay.
Oh, for no reason. I believe in the Trinity 100%.
Okay. Okay, I got you wrong. You sound like somebody else. My apologies.
I call myself Short Nate. I also call myself Nathan.
That's good. Okay.
Well, I hope you remember. And we also remember I told you the story that you live in the same area that I do now. In California, in Bellflower.
Oh, I used to live in Bellflower when I was younger. Very young.
Yeah. You told me the story, and that surprised me when you said it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. Off of 91 and Bellflower Boulevard, right there off of Park Street. I cannot believe I remember this. Even as 11 years old, yeah. I was 9 years old back then. Yeah. All right, so I got to get going, okay, buddy?
You told me the entire story. Yeah. Oh, hey, I am glad that your answers and never in my life will I ever be a liberal or a Democrat.
Okay, buddy. All right, well, God bless.
May the Lord. Oh, one last thing. Is it all right for us to vote? Not a JW. Is it okay for us to vote? Because not a JW.
Vote. We're supposed to render to Caesar which is Caesar's. Voting is part of our civil responsibility, along with taxes.
I love that thing. Okay, thank you for giving me that hint. Yeah, then I will, and of course, for conservative people.
Okay.
All right, may the Lord always be with you, and your family, and everyone.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
All right, have a wonderful day.
You too.
Same here.
All right. Hey, we have three open lines, I should say. 877-207-2276. Let's get to Elijah from Pennsylvania. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt. I have a question about the Antichrist's demise. So in Daniel 7:11, in Revelation 19:20, it seems to be two differing statements here. So in Daniel 7:11, it says that the Antichrist is going to, hold on a second, you scroll up to it. Yeah, so it says that the beast was killed and his body destroyed and given over to the burning fire. But in Revelation 19:20, it says that the beast and the false prophet were both captured alive and thrown alive into the lake of fire. So do you see the conflicting here?
Well, it's not conflicting, but it's possible that Daniel 7 is talking about kingdoms too. That's another issue of possible interpretation there, but won't get into that right now. Let's assume that the horn is the Antichrist, and it says that he was slain, his body was destroyed and given to the burning fire. That's in the physical realm. And then in Revelation 19:20, that's in the spiritual realm. These are thrown alive into the lake of fire, which burns brimstone. So they're talking about different events and different relationships. Hey, there's the music. Hold on, but we've got a break, okay? Hey, folks, we'll be right back after these messages. If you want to call me, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Let's get back on with Elijah. There you go, Elijah. You're on. You still there?
Okay.
Right? Okay.
Yeah, I'm still here. Yeah.
So, it looks like Daniel is talking about on the physical realm and Revelation talking about the spiritual. Okay.
Okay.
That's what it seems to be. Are you there? Got a lot of dead air time. I got to fill it with comments or something. You got something?
Yeah. Yeah, I was just trying to process what you just said, but I want to move on to my next question because I feel like that's more important because this deals with deeper theological issues. So I recently watched the debate on Standing for Truth between Sean Griffin and somebody else on whether or not Jesus is doing animal sacrifices right now in heaven, and
you
might want to write this down because it's about maybe four sentences in this thing that he said, and I want you to you know have it all on your screen so you can respond to each point. So the first thing he said is that he believes Matthew 22, specifically in verse 4, he believes that the oxen and the cattle that's being slaughtered at the wedding banquet in heaven, it's real literal animals in heaven that are being slaughtered. So that's why he believes that Jesus is currently killing animals in heaven, and that because we'll be eating actual killed animals in heaven. And he said that.
And what's the purpose of them being? What's the purpose of them being killed in heaven?
Because he doesn't believe that Jesus's atonement.
Atoning sacrifices. So the animals' deaths are for atoning sacrifices. Okay, what's the second stupidly heretical point he's going with? Give me number two.
Okay. Let's see here.
Well, it is. It's just insanity.
So he says that those verses are proof that God keeps kosher and dietary laws in heaven. And he said this lines up with Jeremiah 31:7-9 in the Septuagint. And then,
this guy is, I bet if you were to get really close to him while he's walking and you're like put a little device up to his head, he's not paying attention, I bet you could hear the nuts and bolts rattling because they're loose. I bet you could.
Yeah.
And if you don't hear nuts and bolts, I bet you could hear the whistling of the air through the ears in the empty area of his brain, where his brain thinks it's supposed to be. Probably, maybe both. Just a shh. Yeah. Okay. Well, this is so stupid. It's so bad that it's like I have not heard something that dumb in a long time. And I just need to say what it is. That is so dumb. And he doesn't even know what he's talking about. He has no clue. He could not argue about this successfully ever. It just doesn't make any sense. What's the third part? Okay, go ahead. Keep going. I like stupidity and heresy together. They're great. It's like wacko mail. Go ahead.
Okay. Third part. Let's see. He said that giving a human sacrifice for sin is an... Okay, please forgive me, Lord God, for speaking this blasphemy, but he said that the human sacrifice for sin is an abomination, he says, in the Old Testament, according to him. This is why he doesn't believe that Jesus' death was a sacrifice for our sins, and he believes that propitiation and atonement for our sins on the cross is mysticism. Forgive me, Lord God, is mysticism from the second and third century Orthodox Church.
Yeah, how do I say this politely? He not only does not have all his paws in the litter box, he doesn't have any in, and his brain is working as efficiently as a glacier. That's how slow moving it is. What else could I say on these idioms? Couldn't argue his way out of a wet paper bag if it was vertically pointing down. He had chains pulling him out. He still couldn't get out, right? He doesn't know what he's doing. He's demonically inspired or possessed, and what he's teaching is Antichrist from the pit of hell. This guy is playing the fool, and he is speaking foolishness. He's an absolute fool for what he's teaching. And he needs to be addressed as a fool, because He is denying the work of God in flesh. He doesn't understand the biblical doctrines. And he's just simply in the service of the devil. Okay? That's the third. You got a fourth?
Let's see here. Oh, yeah. Well, that was it. But a follow-up thing I wanted to add was that if I were to send you his 20-minute opening statement, which he did upload to his channel, it's just a 20-minute video of his opening statement from that debate. If I send that to you, would you like to watch it for a response video or something like that?
Maybe. You know, send it to me. We'll see. We've got some new projects going on at Carm. We've got to really focus on a lot of different direction for a while. But I may once a week do something like this. And a response video may be good because people would probably enjoy my facial expressions and over-the-top reactions, you know, rather than the analysis. Because, man, can we say lame? It's out of the book of, he's teaching right out of the book of second hysterectomies. Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. It's just bad news. Golly. You know, the devil has his people. The devil has his servants. And the internet allows the demonic to be taught to the unsuspecting. And the foolishness and the antichrist theology this guy's teaching is just abominable. It's abominable. It's horrible. And it's easy to refute. But the issue is, if I were to debate someone like that who said those things, I'd be astounded that anybody could teach it. But refuting it's easy. But of course, the heretics who are given over to the depravity of their own hearts and minds will not believe the truth. They are, if not reprobate, they are at the very least demonically oppressed. And so their minds are clouded, their judgment is gone. As Jude says, what is Jude? I'm going to read this because this reminds me of this. Jude says, they are men who are hidden reeves in our love feast when the feast feast with you without fear, caring for themselves, clouds of water, clouds without water, carried along by the winds, autumn trees without fruit, doubly dead, uprooted, wild waves of the sea, casting up their own shame like foam, wandering stars for whom the black darkness has been reserved forever. Yeah, he fits in that category. Because to say that the human sacrifice is wrong, and the propitiation is mysticism, it's right out of the playbook of Satan.
I do have a question about one of the things he said. So how would you respond to him if he said to you that Jesus' death couldn't have been an atonement for sin because in the Old Testament they only used animals and they never sacrificed humans for atonement?
They used animals, and the New Testament tells us that the animals were not able to atone for them, for people's sins, because they had to do them over and over and over and over again. We needed one true sacrifice. In Zechariah 12:10, God says, "Look upon me whom they have pierced." In Psalm 22, it talks about the crucifixion. In Isaiah 53, it talks about Jesus bearing our sins and our iniquities. So this is prophetic in the Old Testament. Now, he's going to only go to the animal sacrifices and say, well, they were only animal sacrifices, therefore we can't have a human sacrifice there. Is just simply not warranted. Particularly since the New Testament calls his sacrifice on the cross just that, a sacrifice, and a propitiatory sacrifice at that. So he's a fool. And when I say that, I don't say it lightly. The Bible says, don't call people fools. What it's talking about is in Matthew 5:22, it's talking about just giving them haphazard judgments. You're calling them fools, you're calling them idiots, you're calling them morons, you're insulting them. Don't do that. But when someone denies the truth of Scripture and denies the essentials of the faith, denies the personal work of Christ, then they are the spirit of the Antichrist. And they need to be called out for what they are, Antichrists. Now, the Bible says in 1 John 2, there are many Antichrists have already gone out into the world. He is a manifestation of that Antichrist spirit and attitude. Okay? That's just the way it is. Thank you very much. Hebrews 10:4, for it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. This is why we needed the sacrifice of God himself, which is prophesied in the Old Testament. So, yeah, it's just ridiculous. Okay?
Yeah, and one thing that's really, really strange about him is that even though like the other churches, like Catholics and Orthodox, they use apocryphal books, part of their inspired readings. He goes beyond that, and he uses like almost every apocryphal book from the Second Temple period as his inspired literature, and he constantly quotes those on top of the Bible during his debates. It's like, what are you doing?
Yeah, it's because he doesn't know the voice of the shepherd, Jesus. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. That's John 10:27. And he says the other sheep will go after false teachers. This guy is a false teacher who's listening to false teachers. So he's in a lot of trouble when he dies. Okay?
Yeah.
To hell. Unless he repents, he's on his way to hell. People say, you can't judge him. I'm not judging him. I'm informing him. He's denying who Christ is and denying the propitiatory sacrifice of Christ. So, well, as Hebrews 10:26. If we go on sinning willfully, that's him, after receiving the knowledge of the truth, that's the true gospel, they're no longer made to sacrifice for sins. So he has denied the true sacrifice of Christ. There is no sacrifice to cover him. He's on his own. And if he were to die right now, unfortunately, from what you've said, he would just go straight to damnation without any hope of escape. I don't want that for him. But he needs to be called out as the flaming heretic that he is. Okay?
You there? I recently watched a Bible study from Sam Shimon, even though I don't really watch him like that. So it's like when I watch him, I use discernment because I know he's also a heretic too. I watched his Bible study on the Trinity, and he was responding to Sam Shimon, and he did an excellent job at showing that the Trinity, just showing how the both Old Testament and the New Testament point to Jesus as being God.
Of course they do. I've written on it. Others have written on it. Too bad Sam has gone over to the dark side, become Eastern Orthodox. But, the Trinity is true doctrine. So there's a lot of heretics out there, and it's going to get darker. I've talked to my wife about this. Oh, we're out of time. As things get worse, demonic doors are going to increasingly open. We could talk about that tomorrow. So we got to go. There's the music, buddy. Good call. All right, Elijah. All right, man.
Yep, have a good one.
All right, send me the info.
All right.
Hey, folks, there we go. We're out of time. May the Lord bless you by His grace. We're back on here tomorrow, and maybe we'll deal with some more heresy. Oof. Have a good one, everyone. God bless.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.